We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
This podcast episode is brought to you by Coors Light. These days, everything is go, go, go. It's nonstop hustle all the time. Work, friends, family expect you to be on 24/7. Well, sometimes you just need to reach for a Coors Light because it's made to chill. Coors Light is cold lagered, cold filtered, and cold packaged. It's as crisp and refreshing as the Colorado Rockies. It is literally made to chill. Coors Light is the one I choose when I need to unwind. So when you want to hit reset, reach for the beer that's made to chill. Get Coors Light in the new look delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado.
Support for this podcast comes from U.S. Bank. U.S. Bank wants to know how you reward yourself, because they have cards that make every day more rewarding. Are you a points hoarder, cashback guru, low intro APR lover? With U.S. Bank, it's up to you, because they have the cards to fit your lifestyle. So earn more whether you're shopping at a gas station or grocery store, even while planning a staycation. Learn more at usbank.com/creditcard. U.S. Bank credit cards are issued by U.S. Bank National Association N.D. Some restrictions may apply. Member FDIC.
Welcome to the Tuesday, October 13th edition of the RotoWire NFL Podcast, Week 5. Almost in the books. We can't say it's fully because we have the Tuesday night game between the Bills and Titans going on. I'm Joe Barlow. You can follow me at JB Fantasy Sports and join alongside me, as always, every Tuesday, Jake Letarski. Get him at Roto Jake. Of course, this is the free agent edition of the RotoWire NFL Podcast. There's a number of big names that we have to discuss, certainly more than last week when I felt like it wasn't as big of a deal. This one for sure is a big one.
Yeah, last week was a little bit low-key. Maybe some guys that'll help you long-term, some backups to look after. This week, there's one, maybe two players that are worth a number one waiver priority. So can't wait to dive into it with you, Joe.
Yeah, and a bigger week as well because we have four bye weeks heading into week six. Raiders, Saints, Chargers, both those played, and we'll talk about that Monday Night Football game last night. And finally, the Seahawks, a big deal if you have Lockett, Russell Wilson, DK Metcalf, Chris Carson, too.
I was going to say, Chris Carson has been a stud for me in two leagues.
Yeah, who knew that Chris Carson would be a PPR monster?
Chris Carson is always just one of those players that, you know, you draft with low expectations, but he ends up exceeding them, at least the last couple of years. Not a sexy name, but he gets it done.
Yeah, let's talk about that Monday Night Football game real quick. Of course, my Chargers, and I say that kind of jokingly. Mm-hmm. I do cover them from the site.
Your Chargers as the beat writer. That would be right. Like me, when I used to cover the Browns. I would never say my Browns. I would just say Browns, Browns, those Mary Kay's Browns, that kind of thing.
I have adopted the Chargers as my second team, and I feel some level of remorse every time they do Chargers stuff. Mm-hmm. I wish I would have brought this up. I was on the air with Chris Liss for SiriusXM yesterday, filling in for Jeff, and I really wanted to. I should have mentioned it somehow. I thought Chargers A will cover the spread. They did do that, but they will lose in heartbreaking fashion. I was going to say because they missed an extra point. Well, they did do that. Actually, Michael Badgley did miss an extra point in the first half, but it was the 50-yard doink off the right upright that cost them the loss there. Justin Herbert, once again, doesn't get credit for really what was an excellent game, particularly in the first half. Stop me if you've heard this before, if you've watched any Charger games, the Buccaneers game, and the Chiefs game. Herbert had excellent first halves. For whatever the reason, the Chargers can scheme a great first half. Mm-hmm. It's the adjustments in the second half that make a difference. Keenan Allen being hurt after the first quarter didn't help things either, but there you go. Saints get the 30-27 win. What was your biggest takeaway from that other than Herbert? Because I think he's probably the national media's one.
Yeah, I wanted to say Herbert number one because his rostership or whatever we want to say is up to 64% now, so he's kind of outside of the realm there. One of my biggest takeaways, and you know, we can talk about this a little bit when we get there, but I think maybe Herbert unlocked Mike Williams a little bit. Now he's finally healthy, right? And of course, Keenan Allen being sideline helps, but Herbert, all of a sudden the light bulb went on where I can throw it up to Mike Williams in traffic, and he is a big athletic player that can come down with it. Now, you know, him and Lattimore, of course, you know, Williams went over the top of him one time, then Lattimore, of course, had the tackle that sealed the game as well, got his revenge. But yeah, I mean, Mike Williams, 8 targets, caught 5 of them for 109 yards and 2 scores. If they look for him in the red zone, as well as, I mean, Rivers used to do this all the time too. He would just, when Williams was healthy, of course, he would just kind of chuck it up to him and rely on that big body being bigger and more physical than the defenders that they put on him to come down with it. So Williams is a guy that, obviously, it's the Claypool episode when it comes to wide receivers, not to give too much away, but Williams is one of those kind of sneaky guys. I have a second tier.
Is he available?
Yes.
Oh.
I prepped our show. There's a tier of guys. There are 4 good players between 40 and 45% rostered that you wouldn't think are available. So if you're in 10 and even 12 team leagues, definitely go out there and listen there. And then on the Saints side, you know, of course we have the Michael Thomas punch. You know, he's out for non-injury related reasons, man. Here. It's one of those, I got a couple of Lee Corso not so fast moments here, and Emmanuel Sanders is one of them. He's definitely understanding the offense. He's getting more involved, but how many of those 14 targets are going to Mike Thomas when he does come
14
back?
14 of them.
Yeah, exactly.
Here. It felt like with Sanders, that Packers game was a aha moment for Drew Brees. I don't know, like from that point forward, Sanders really has been the focal point with Michael Thomas out. And it's funny you mentioned Michael Thomas. I was on the wire Saturday doing all of our coverage, and you know, normally the Saturdays aren't that big of a deal. Well, I had to do 3 different games because we had 2 Monday night games technically before the Broncos Patriots game got canceled, and the Tuesday night game as well with the Bills and Titans happening tonight. So I was writing this Michael Thomas note in level 1 note, big deal, right? He is going to play because that's what the beat reporters are saying. He had a limited practice. Hey, he had that all last week, but he is going to play. For sure he's going to play. And then I see Sunday afternoon Michael Thomas ruled out, and I'm like, oh crap, did I mess this up? Like, did I make a problem here? And I felt a little better, not necessarily vindicated, but I felt better from a like job perspective that no, he just had to go punch somebody out, and that's why he ended up getting benched. Mm-hmm. You're right. I agree with you. I would not be reacting to the Emmanuel Sanders Emmanuel Sanders big game necessarily. And worth pointing out, Casey Hayward was injured in that contest too, which I think maybe could limit Sanders' production a little bit.
Yeah.
Can I double back to the Mike Williams thing real quick?
Yeah. I want to hear the Chargers writer take on it.
There's a lot to unpack with it, unfortunately. So, Chargers are on a bye week this week. Mm-hmm. So, if you're like, hey, Keenan Allen's out, I got to go pick up the backup to it, you're not going and getting Jalen Guyton and saying this is going to be a fantastic thing. He got 3 targets this week. Mm-hmm. He did have a 49-yard catch. He's been a big boom or bust guy. But think back to years past, if you've been playing fantasy football for any number of years, Travis Benjamin, you know the name. He was a very fast player for the Browns and then for the Chargers, but you weren't ever excited to play or roster Travis Benjamin. Mm-hmm. That is the same type of deal with Jalen Guyton. Do not overreact. If Keenan Allen is not able to play week 7, which we don't know about, it's just this back spasms thing and it's kind of left ambiguous. Don't overreact to Jalen Guyton. But if Keenan Allen's out, I do think Mike Williams becomes a top 20 play, and he is the guy, if he is available at any point in your leagues, you should be picking up as a wide receiver 5 or 4, much in the same way you're rostering Justin Jefferson or T. Higgins. That's the level I think Mike Williams can do. I don't think he's going to have these types of performances every week moving forward. It's nice to see Herbert gain some confidence in Williams. We know Rivers did in past years, which is great. However, if Allen is out, Williams is the biggest beneficiary, and then Hunter Henry too. Hunter Henry was kind of quiet, like only 4 catches, 53 yards, something like that. But I think he's a bigger deal.
His 8 targets were the same as Mike Williams. That's the part that's worth standing out as a book. Because I don't really see a Travis Benjamin on this roster. I mean, Guyton,
it's Jalen Guyton. That is the same thing.
But I even had a better gut feeling about Benjamin than Guyton.
Maybe you were wrong then.
After that. I mean, at the time, I mean, he's a guy you pick up as an emergency, flex him when you know half your receiving core is on bye, and then send him back to the waiver wire the week after.
I'll give you the name on that actually fits this, and this is like a 14 or 16 team kind of pickup. KJ Hill, Herbert threw it on the wrong direction. Like, for as great as Herbert did throughout the game, I told a friend this after the contest, that they should have won, because if Herbert leads KJ Hill on that overtime pass, he runs and maybe runs down to the end zone, the 10-15 yard line, and then it's a matter of getting a touchdown. KJ Hill probably factors in as the number two. I'm going to put it in quotes. You can't see it, but I am. Sorry, we're not doing our actual video of it. But KJ Hill becomes the guy that probably gets more of a beneficiary. Again, we have to wait till what Keenan Allen's status is for week 7. That's a 2 week down the road problem.
I mean, at this point with the Chargers, though, should we have a fantasy relevant conversation about the running backs, though? I mean, Jackson and Kelly.
I called it.
I mean, we mentioned that, and not to give away our whole thing for later on, Justin Jackson is less than 50% rostered in Yahoo leagues. Kelly was the popular name, but Jackson got 15 carries to Kelly's 11. Obviously, yards per carry is a bump stat, but 4.7 to 2.6, that's enough. I mean, 2 full yards, that's enough to worth pointing out. And then Justin Jackson got the targets too, caught 5 of his 6 targets for 23 yards, whereas Josh Kelly only 1 target, which he caught for 9 yards. But I think we know who the back is here with Eckler out.
No, actually we don't. It's the hot hand, and it was just like we talked about last week. You mentioned it with me, Justin Jackson, asked what we were going with, and I said, hey, it's going to be Kelly that gets some of the carries, but Jackson is going to factor in, and if he does well, Jackson is going to be the guy that gets it. The same thing applies in week 7 too, and this is a bigger deal if Keenan Allen is out. If Keenan Allen's playing, they're not having the running backs do 24 carries. It's just that's not part of the game script. But I think this really saw Jackson and Kelly get more opportunities because Allen was out. But if Kelly is the one that is getting 7 yards per carry, he will get more of the opportunities than Justin Jackson. It's just that you're going to have to deal with this every single week until Eckler comes back. Once Eckler comes back, Jackson's gone. Kelly's role stays the same. But that's what we're looking at right now. It's just a week-to-week thing.
And remember, a bye week, too. And you're running into your own bye week situations, or who knows what COVID situations will emerge this week. Can you afford to roster Justin Jackson, you know, in a 10-12 team league through his bye week? Maybe, but probably not.
Not 10-team. 12-team, maybe. But you'd have to give me the other options available. And that's something you could do on Twitter. You can tweet at both Jake and I at JB Fantasy Sports, at Roto Jake. Ask an expert feature. I'm available all day today. I'm going to be answering those questions. But the rest of the guys that do that throughout the week are great as well for that too. So I want to give one PSA for everyone listening to the podcast right now. Please make sure you check your waiver wire settings in your league. I would imagine most people listening to this are going to be in some sort of standard waiver wire format. If that's the case, the waivers will more than likely process after tonight's game. So if there is one crazy injury that happens from the Bills or Titans perspective, you need to jump on that ASAP. Not that I'm really excited to go watch a Bills-Titans game on a Tuesday night, but there might be some fruitful fantasy prospects that come from that game that you need to be aware of.
Yeah, whether it's fab or waivers, I'm pretty sure the default Yahoo setting, which that's one of my favorite places to play, of course. Those guys, the default is late Tuesday night, so I'm talking like 3 a.m. Eastern Tuesday night. Usually those run through, so that shouldn't be affected too much by the Tuesday night game here. So, get your bids in as you normally would on Tuesday. I mean, that's why we do the waiver wire show on Tuesdays, because the default for most leagues, although some of the leagues that I've been doing this year are running them on Thursday afternoon, and I'm starting to like that more. But maybe that's just because I'm a guy that does fantasy football at my job all day and can make the pickups then, instead of having to do them Tuesday night. And guess, I don't know, like a couple weeks ago, like, oh, Carson looks really hurt, Carlos Hyde's going to come in. Then all of a sudden the script just gets flipped. So anyway, I can rant on waiver wire times all you want, but Tuesday night, that hasn't changed. If your league uses continuous waivers with a Tuesday clear date, waiver claims won't be processed till Wednesday for Yahoo specific. And they sent an email with all your situation. But, you know, just like any fantasy football, our biggest thing is, first and foremost, when you join a league, you got to know your league's rules. If you use any kind of unique waiver system, you might want to check that out.
All right, good. Before we get to really the meat of the show, and we talked about a few of the options, you mentioned Claypool. He's going to be a big factor of this. We have to get to Andy Dalton at some point. This is a waiver wire show. After all, before we do that, though, I want to get a word from our sponsors, Prediction Strike. Prediction Strike is a fantasy sports stock market on which you can buy and sell shares of professional athletes just as if they were stock. Ever heard someone say, I've had stock in Patrick Mahomes since day one? Well, that's great. Now, it can be a reality. Create a portfolio of all your favorite athletes and get closer to the game than ever before. To get started, simply visit PredictionStrike.com to create an account, then deposit funds to buy, sell, and hold shares of your favorite players just like you would real stock. Each game is like an earnings report. If the player beats his projection, his stock moves up. It's really that simple. You can trade your shares of players at any time as long as the player isn't currently in a game. To get started, go visit PredictionStrike.com and sign up with code ROTOWIRE to get an additional $10 with your first deposit of $20 or more. Again, that's PredictionStrike.com. Sign up with code ROTOWIRE, get an additional $10 with your first deposit of $20 or more. All right, so we always start with quarterbacks. I think, unfortunately for Dak Prescott, the biggest free agent pickup, or one of the biggest free agent pickups, is going to be what you want to do with Andy Dalton. And this isn't just a 2QB league thing. I think you have to consider him in a 10 or 12 team league format as well, depending on the matchups week in, week out. Or are you disagreeing?
Yeah, I mean, 10, 12 team leagues, it gets interesting because, yes, he's got a good running back. Yes, he's got probably the best trio of wide receivers in the league. I'm concerned about the offensive line, though, with Tyrone Smith particularly. The reason Zeke was always one of the number one, number two, three backs in the entire league was because it was just a well-known established fact that the Cowboys had the best offensive line in the league. You know, they've got injuries on the other side. It doesn't look like Tyrone Smith will be back, and it's just a different offensive line without a player like that. So,
and our boy Travis Frederick, who retired in the offseason, too.
Exactly, yes. So they took some big hits. It's not, when you think of the Dallas Cowboys offensive line, you probably have a pre-established image in your head. That image is very different now. So you have to take that into account. And as a Michael Gallup, someone who was rostered Michael Gallup in a lot of different leagues this year, I've been disappointed because this was an issue with Dak too. He wasn't getting downfield looks. Gallup was the downfield guy. Now, granted, Dalton used him and used him successfully when he had to towards the end of that game here. But the problem was not that Dak doesn't like going downfield or is incapable of going downfield. He's plenty capable. He just never had the time to go downfield. And now you put in a player like Dalton who is less mobile than Dak, and you expect him to suddenly go downfield with the same, if not worse, level of protection. There's a little bit of a concern in there, which is why 10, 12 team leagues, he's really a bye week streamer type player, you know, if you had to. Obviously, if you had Dak, you're looking between Kirk Cousins and Fitzpatrick. I'd rather, you know, not to get you to, we're going to talk about this in a sec, but Cousins, Fitzpatrick, I'd almost rather try playing streamer with some of those guys instead of necessarily picking up Dalton for the long term. Because, I mean, Dalton with the Bengals, he was kind of always that replacement level, like the Cole Beasley of quarterbacks. You have that line, right? That replacement level line. So you could pick him up. You might have to drop him again. Obviously, that all goes out the window in two quarterback leagues, where I think we suggested when the Nick Foles situation came around, we suggested a 45% fab bid. And you're looking at something similar, if not maybe even greater.
I think more, yeah.
Greater for Dalton. So this is like a 55-65% fab bid in your two quarterback leagues. But of course, two quarterbacks league changes everything about fab. It's a whole new game.
Yeah, and that's, I mean, this dates back to our July podcast, but I really love 2QB leagues for this exact reason, that it adds a bit more to the free agent wire. But let's just say for this conversation, you're talking about a 10 or 12 team leagues. You're right. I probably should have phrased it more that Dalton is now firmly in the streamer conversation, which sucks because if you had Dak Prescott, you were anticipating he's going to be a guy that sets potentially the record for most passing yards of an entire season, and certainly a guy that you can count on your lineup each and every week. That's not Dalton. I do agree with you on there or on that point, but I think if you have Dalton, you have to look at the matchups coming up and understand that defense is not going to change. That defense is going to continue to be horribly, horribly bad. And for the Cowboys to be successful and be competitive in games, they are going to require that offense to pass and run and just do a lot of production. So by default, I think Dalton has a pretty safe floor that is better than Fitzpatrick, for example, who has been a streamer often. Or even Daniel Jones, too, to some extent as well.
Yeah, those guys are streamers, definitely. And you mentioned the schedule, so I kind of took a look. The Cowboys don't face a top 10 defense against opposing quarterbacks till week 15. Granted, there's some in the middle, you know, and they've got 10 and 11 in there, but the schedule does look pretty favorable. So I can see that. You can't have super high expectations for a guy like Dalton. If anything, I think they lean on Zeke more. And I worry that this hurts the wide receivers, Amari Cooper in particular, a little bit too.
Well, and Cooper did not do well even before when Prescott was there, but certainly after, and maybe that's credit to the actual only good Dave Gettleman pickup that's happened recently. This is a conversation for my SiriusXM performance with Liss, with Bradbury actually locking down Cooper. I mean, Lamb did pretty good, and Gallup did towards the end of the game because he had to, like you mentioned. I don't know. Like, I'm not – the pass catchers are too good, and the offensive scheme relative to how bad the defense is just too obvious for me to say, hey, Dalton shouldn't be a pickup. And I think Dalton's actually a pretty capable player. Is he a top 20 quarterback in the NFL? I don't know. I'd have to like really, really think about it. But he's easily the best backup, I think, in the NFL right now. And that matters in this offense.
I just looked. He's 32 years old. So physically, he should have a couple of years left. If you would have said, guess Andy Dalton's age, I'd have probably said 35, 36 or something.
Oh, I would have wanted like 30. So I guess we got somewhere in the middle there.
I don't know. I remember him being around forever just because of having bad Badger Rose Bowl memories against TCU.
Yeah,
but
Justin Herbert gives me the same flashbacks as well. I'm going to just give you a list of streamer quarterbacks, and I want you to pick who you like out of this group because I'm not sure they're all worth talking about. So Tannehill, we know he's playing tonight, so maybe that matters more to see what his COVID-less pass catchers, Corey Davis, Humphreys, are both not playing. Like, what does that look like? Tannehill's against the Texans.
I do want to say loophole watch, right? If you lost Dak and there's anybody on your roster that you can drop, you can pick up Tannehill for nothing if you think you're going to stream him next week against Houston.
Okay.
So take care of that problem right away. Just loophole watch. It depends a little bit on your league format, but if there is a droppable player anyway, you know, I think Yahoo Leagues might even let this one slide. So I just want to throw a loophole watch in there. But
Tannehill, Mayfield against the Steelers, who, I mean, Carson Wentz actually diced him up with a guy named Travis Fulgham for much of Sunday. So it's possible you'd be considering Mayfield. Daniel Jones against the Washington defense, Kirk Cousins against the Falcons, or Fitzpatrick against the Jets. I mean, there's a lot of guys that you could consider streaming. Dalton in that conversation as well. Which one do you like most out of that group?
Yeah, so I do want to note that Fitzpatrick here has had like 21 or more fantasy points in every week since week one against the Patriots. So he's been remarkably consistent, and he's playing an organization that's just an absolute mess. I mean, now that Bill O'Brien and Dan Quinn, you know, have taken their medicine, I'm pretty sure that Adam Gase has got to be the odds-on favorite for next coach gone.
How is
I'm
he
surprised
not already?
He wasn't. Yeah, people probably lost bets because of that. So it's favorable for Fitzpatrick, but man, I gotta go Cousins. He's home against the Falcons team. Maybe the Falcons get some kind of motivation, but again, this isn't because you look at the Texans effect, right?
They
lose their coach, they came back. Here you have the Falcons, you know, they lose their coach, maybe they'll care. But I'm just not buying it because that defense, that secondary is just so horrible. They're still ravaged by injuries. I'll have to see the injury report this week to see if they're getting any kind of reinforcements anytime soon. But even someone like Kirk Cousins, who, you know, has the emergence of a guy like Justin Jefferson to rely on. Thielen had a really good game last week. That connection's not going anywhere. No, they won't have Delvin Cook, and Delvin Cook is a dream for a dump-off hero like Kirk Cousins. Delvin Cook is the Alvin Kamara to Drew Brees, you know, just like that with Kirk Cousins. So he won't have that, but Madison looked pretty good. You know, we'll talk about him in a sec. I think Cousins would be the streamer this week for sure.
All right, are you ready for a Culver's board bet?
All right, let's see, who do you got?
I'll take Fitzpatrick straight up to score more fantasy points in whatever system you want than Kirk Cousins. I don't disagree that Kirk Cousins is a bad choice. I really don't. I think Kirk Cousins, especially with Delvin Cook maybe out, it seems like as of right now, this recording Tuesday, it seems like Delvin Cook is going to play. I think Madison can do a good enough job at filling in for Delvin Cook, so I'm not worried about that. And the Falcons' defense is not good. But I really don't think we can quantify what getting rid of a toxic situation is like. And just your case in point, you brought it up. Look how much better the Texans looked with Bill O'Brien gone. It was like a night and day. Oh yeah, this is why we thought the Texans would contend for the AFC South crown. Oh yeah, no duh. This makes complete sense. I just get a little bit worried. Like maybe it's just like this weird jinxing voice in my head, right? That says Falcons defense might actually be might be okay. Might possibly be okay. We know for certain the stink on the Jets is real and will be there for one more week. I'll take Fitzpatrick over Cousins.
Yeah, fair enough. So you're on. I hope we can get an official sponsorship from Culver's one of these.
I'll keep pushing it.
Unofficial sponsorship, the Culver's board bet here. Get me that double bacon deluxe here. While you were talking, I just kind of checked on the RotoWire projections to see where we were at and see if we were even close. We've got Cousins, you know, Jerry and Co. has got Cousins at number 12 overall, 21.95 fantasy points this week. And Fitzpatrick, maybe that needs some adjusting, but 28th overall, right down there with Kyle Allen, a little over 17 points.
Yeah, so, they'll get tweaked.
Yeah, I'm sure that'll get tweaked, you know, at some point given the situation. But
So Fitzpatrick, Cousins, number one and two, and you can go either way. Is Dalton three out of this group? I think for me, he's three, but of Tannehill, Mayfield, Daniel Jones, and Dalton, what are you thinking?
Yeah, I mean, when we get to Tannehill, Dalton, it's, you know, give or take.
Okay.
I'd like to see how Tannehill does after the time off, which I imagine would be fine. Remember, Tannehill's getting A.J. Brown back, it seems like, tonight. That's going to be a big thing. I know a lot of places where A.J. Brown's been drafted, you've been – if anyone listened to us, how much we love A.J. Brown, now it's finally time because I believe Corey Davis is still on the COVID list.
Corey and Adam Humphries, both are.
Yeah, so this is going to be the Adam Brown show tonight and moving forward, ladies and gentlemen. So buy low now if you can.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not like a huge fan of Tannehill whatsoever. I am anxious a little bit to see how he looks because I am so invested in A.J. Brown. It's finally hopefully going to pay off. We'll find out. He missed the injury, but he was a full participant in Saturday's practice. They have already confirmed A.J. Brown will play tonight against the Bills. That's a big deal to me, so I'm excited about it. I really don't want to talk about this too much. Two QB leagues. We mentioned Dalton. Yes, very good. Pick him up. I mean, Joe Flacco is playing. Yeah. Kyle Allen is playing.
We have to say their names, right?
Yeah. I don't think we're a good waiver wire podcast if we don't at least mention that Joe Flacco and Kyle Allen are starting quarterbacks. Yeah. But I don't think – that's your number 31 and 32.
Well, and then you have the San Francisco situation too where it looked like Jimmy Garoppolo was maybe brought back just a little bit prematurely. So, you know, find the guy there.
Beathard, right, is the guy at number two right now.
Over Mullins?
That's how it played out last week, whether that matters or not. I mean, Mullins had a great week when he had to fill in and then was absolutely dreadful to the point where Beathard just came in and was the starter in that situation.
There was a point in the first half of Monday Night Football where I very much thought that Jameis Winston was going to get a mention in this part of the show, but Drew Brees came back. And
Jameis Winston, the rostered player on Joe's Auto New team, which takes into account both collegiate and NFL players. This is a 2QB super flex league, so I actually think Winston for a cheap dollar has been one of my favorite signings so far. Thanks, Ken. Ken Kreitz for dropping in and letting me pick him up. But he got the win over me this week, so I can't be too happy. Let's move over to running backs. Yep. No more talking about my teams. All right, so Chase Edmonds. Hey, I mean, it's clear. Kenyon Drake owners probably or managers are probably happy too. He scored a touchdown, but to me, it is only a matter of time until Chase Edmonds becomes the starter, and it seems like sooner rather than later based off of this week's performance.
Yeah, I mean, worst case scenario, we're looking at a 50-50 split. He's now 64% rostered in Yahoo leagues, and but if you look at any kind of efficiency stat that you want to name it between Drake and Edmonds is way more productive on a per play and a per touch basis. So you have to imagine there's going to be some kind of leveling out here.
Yeah. We were both saying Edmonds needs to be the guy that you're picking up much in the same way. This next name, I think, needs to be the same caliber. Philip Lindsay, 51% is what you said for Yahoo.
He's just over our threshold, and he could have, you know, maybe he could have been at 50 on the dot when we checked, but that also needs to be one of the first names that you're typing in if you're looking for a running back. Melvin Gordon's been excellent, but that workload's about to go down significantly. Your window is probably has definitely passed to sell high on Melvin Gordon here, and now Philip Lindsay's going to be back in the mix.
I had this question posed to me, Justin Jackson or Philip Lindsay is who you want to pick up, and I said Philip Lindsay, and it's a pretty easy call for me. Once Austin Eckler comes back, and it seems like by all indications that timetable, which includes a Chargers bye week, mind you, would be Justin Jackson completely goes to the wayside. Melvin Gordon has had his injury history throughout his career, so it's no guarantee that he plays the entire year. But Philip Lindsay would be the main starter in that situation where Gordon would be out. Yeah. And there isn't anybody. Like, you'd get 70-80% of the workload. Mm-hmm.
The other situation there that you have to take into account is Jackson is heading into a bye where Lindsay is coming off a bye.
Yes.
Exactly.
So huge factor.
When you have two similar type players, I mean, Lindsay's outlook, as long as he doesn't get injured again, is the same the rest of the season. Jackson's outlook diminishes significantly when Eckler comes off IR.
Right. Yep. So that's a huge part of it. Again, if Lindsay's available, he's in 51% of the leagues picked up, so 49% still available. He has to be near that group for you as far as you're considering. Another guy that I think has to be near that group is Alexander Mattison. Now, the frustrating part is Dalvin Cook. We all know his injury history as well. The hamstring, it seems like he's going to at least miss this week. That's the report that we got as of a couple hours ago. I mean, a one-week starter of Alexander Mattison is still probably worth a pretty high waiver wire priority claim, right?
Yeah, I mean, okay, so number one, if you're the Dalvin Cook owner and you hadn't already been rostering a guy like Mattison because of Cook's injury history, which is a fair thing to do, I could see using your number one waiver claim on Mattison. Now, he's going to be right up there neck and neck with Claypool here as the number one pickup for the week. You know, it's pick your poison in a way.
It depends on what you need, right? Like, mm-hmm. if you need a running back to start this week, Madison has to be the number one guy.
Yes, exactly. If you need a running back, yeah, 100%. Or if you're a Cook owner, yep. and that hadn't
Which
had
is
him
the same
already, yeah, you absolutely have to have Madison on your roster because, okay, so were they going to really bring Dalvin Cook back without missing a week? You know, that just hearing that makes me think they're going to mismanage him, which doesn't actually bode well for him not getting hurt again, right? So if you're a Cook owner and Cook's you know a top five running back in the league here when healthy, I don't think there's any question about that anymore. You're going into weeks 14, 15, 16 and suddenly something pops again, or they decide, you know, maybe we need to take a more conservative approach actually this time around. Well, I don't know. I don't think they'll be making the playoffs, but nonetheless, or they might actually have to be playing there towards the end. I would just be willing to bet that, say, hypothetically, Cook only misses next week. I would say that that's probably not the only game he's going to miss the rest of the season here.
So you're saying Madison's good. Actually kind of like a more of a long-term buy, even though he is a guy that you're starting for sure, picking up.
It's going to be very challenging in a COVID year with so many game reshuffling and through bye weeks coming up. But mm-hmm. you have to have Madison on your roster. For some reason, I saw Madison. I mean, he was absolutely tearing it up on Sunday night?
Yeah, Sunday night.
Sunday night. And I was thinking, oh, yes, I have Madison in Stake League. And, you know, not that I ever root for injury, but I was amazed to see how well Madison was playing.
Sure.
And then I looked, oh, dang it, it's just Vegas League. I have him not quite as important.
For sure. Well, and I've always been a Mike Boone stan as opposed to Madison. And I know other members of the RotoWire NFL podcast team have represented the same way. So, like, I had a deep best ball league that I'm like, hey, I have Mike Boone. Maybe that matters because I have a bunch of other running backs that are injured. Mm-hmm. But Madison played so well to the point Sunday night that I think you have to consider him as the guy. And not like Boone is going to factor in. I think Madison is going to get the majority of the touches. The Vikings play the Falcons week 6. We know it's a great matchup for running backs. They have a bye week 7. If that should reinforce your opinion that Cook is going to be out, like, to me, that almost clinches it. I guarantee you Dalvin Cook will not play. Mm-hmm. And if Dalvin Cook is not playing, Madison becomes a top 15, top 18 guy at the spot at minimum.
I jotted Boone down on the list, but for me, he's down there in kind of the long shot category with Trent Cannon of the Panthers.
Sure.
Short term type of guy, because you assume McCaffrey is eligible to come off IR. So the Mike Davis stays, you know, maybe over here pretty soon. But, you know, if there was kind of in that third string area with a guy that's been a little bit banged up at the top of the trio, I think Boone and Trenton Cannon, who Payne mentioned in his article today, that they're kind of at the same level.
Yeah, Reggie Bonifant, who was this primary backup to Mike Davis, who, of course, the backup to CMC, is on IR. So that's why Trenton Cannon's in that. I think Boone's good. Like, I just wanted to reinforce, I think Boone is pretty good. So it wouldn't shock me if he outplays Madison. But if we were talking about just a one-week type of deal, I'd much rather have Madison this against the Falcons defense. So we mentioned Justin Jackson. He's owned in 44% of the league, so just under our threshold as well. I really believe this is a hot hand situation, not as opposed to, oh yeah, Jackson is taking over for Kelly. It doesn't really matter, though. Chargers on a bye this week. And again, we are just counting down the days till Austin Ekeler comes back, which hurts Jackson's availability more. And like you mentioned with Madison, Madison should have value the rest of the year, if nothing else, than to be the backup to Cook. Jackson does not have that similar type of value. I would not be very aggressive in trying to pick him up. And understandably, if you are doing so, it is as a running back 4 or maybe as a very deep flex option, not as a guy you can count on.
Yeah, and we kind of mentioned some of these backup running backs, especially in weeks that are lighter. But this is why you keep guys like Tony Pollard, Darrell Williams, even Jamal Williams on your radar. Guys that, you know, are just one possible move away from turning into something possibly amazing in fantasy. And I always thought Pollard was the number one guy who fits that description.
I still think he is.
Yeah, I agree. But even before this week, I put Madison as the number two guy that fits this description.
Well, your guy actually that I put number two is Chase Edmonds. Edmonds is number two, and then Madison
is number
three.
See, but Edmonds is already creeping into a 70-30, 60-40. This is like, it is Zeke. It is Dalvin Cook.
True.
And then there's a flip. So, yeah, so there's some guys in there. And, you know, before we move on from running backs, I heard the name J.D. McKissic.
I like this, actually.
Tossed around a lot. It's not a super sexy name. He seems to me like a 6-8 PPR guy, just because there are enough people around him, you know, to get carries, and it's not a great team. So he's 6% rostered, and, you know,
the part that you're not mentioning is Kyle Allen as the starting quarterback. Kyle Allen is a very, very bad quarterback. Like, maybe top 40 in the NFL bad. And you can argue why he's the starting quarterback right now for Washington. That's for a different podcast and different show. I'm just telling you right now, Allen is the starter. And if that's the case, check down McGee over there with Kyle Allen throwing passes to McKissick. That matters a lot. If we think Antonio Gibson, and I do, is a pretty talented guy and the offense has to revolve around him and Terry McLaurin, the byproduct, the backup to that is J.D. McKissick, who got a lot of catches this past week in that same role.
Yeah, this is just a weird distribution to me because I think it's clear that Antonio Gibson is the best back of that group, even if he's going to have some rookie growing pains. And do you really trust the Washington football team to not give Peyton Barber the occasional carry?
You're right.
Yeah. This is just one of those weird backfields that, you know, McKissick, yeah, he goes into your lineup. He might have a 20-point week, maybe twice for the rest of the season, but the rest are going to be in that 6 to 8 point range.
You know how Rex Burkhead killed me and only me in that 1 week that he went for 38 points? J.D. McKissick is that same type of player for a worse offense.
Absolutely.
And I just,
you nailed it.
Yeah. So I just like, just keep that in mind. There's in a deeper league, I'm thinking 14, 16 team leagues. I have him in a deep dynasty league that he's just on my bench right now. But like, I don't mind that. I had to start Giovanni Bernard in a couple places this week under the assumption, hey, the Bengals are going to struggle against the Ravens. They got to pass the ball. For whatever the reason, they decide now was the week to pass the ball to Joe Mixon and not any other week. But that killed me. I think J.D. McKissick actually is kind of like a better version of Giovanni Bernard. So just keep that in mind for your running backs. Is there anybody that you want to drop? Like Jerick McKinnon, I'm happy to say I'm glad to drop him right now.
Yeah, you might have to, given, you know, the Mostert situation. We'll see Tevin Coleman back in a couple weeks, and then maybe, and then you just have this whole offense as a whole that maybe isn't quite operating as fluidly as one would think to start the year. So, yeah, I think his days of fantasy utility are a little bit short.
At least in a 10-team league for certain, you're so going that direction.
Yeah, I mean, chances are, though, all these players that we end up dropping next week, we could just as easily be having them on the list. Suddenly, oh, McKinnon will get all the carries, or Mostert will re-injure the knee or something like that. Reminds you of Brandon Cooks, who we'll talk about in the next segment.
Yeah, that's a good point. We're going to get to the wide receivers. First, a word from our sponsor, StableDuel. Are you dominating your fantasy football league? Well, now there's another game that you need to play. Imagine fantasy for horse racing. StableDuel is live with daily contests offering thousands of dollars to be won each week. Download the StableDuel app, create your account, and start selecting your horses today. Compete against other players for winner's circle glory and big money prizes. New to racing? Well, don't worry. StableDuel is simple and fun with low-level entries and big payouts. Name your stable, select 10 horses within your bankroll, and watch each horse accumulate points depending on where they finish. Invite friends to compete against and show them who dominates at all sports, including the sport of kings. Download the StableDuel app and build your stable today. Get in the action of StableDuel. Play, race, win. All right. Well, I mean, like, not that you can compare the two, but Claypool was probably the biggest winner if you were in a stable duel or like the stock riser one, too, that we were talking about earlier. I mean, four touchdowns this week. I don't know how I think I rank Alexander Mattison as my top pickup this week because running backs are more important than wide receivers. And Claypool doing this when Deontay Johnson was hurt makes me a little bit wary, but Claypool was already gravitating towards being in this conversation anyway, and maybe that helps you because people are going to think the same thing I did. Deontay Johnson, maybe that's why he was out. Well, no. Claypool is just a really talented guy. I was out on him the entire draft process. I did not think he was very good. I'll take the L right now. I think Claypool is the real deal and is going to be worth some serious budget to get.
So Claypool goes from kind of a guy that Roethlisberger would maybe take shots downfield at as probably the third option, even among the wide receiver groups. And now suddenly he jumps in. I mean, it's hard to imagine that you suddenly demote this guy after a performance like this, right? I mean, Tomlin's been around. He knows what he sees here. We all thought that, you know, myself included, thought Deontay Johnson kind of had a chance to be not AB because nobody's AB, but maybe like a poor man's AB. They run similar routes. Their role is similar while Juju is kind of more, you know, on the outside here. Suddenly, we've got Chase Claypool here, but I mentioned a couple of Lee Corso not so fast moments in there. I just want to exercise a little bit of caution. I don't think I'd place more than 65% of my budget on him, and I know people will, And I know people will. So I don't think I'm going to end up with a lot, mostly because I blew away all my budget on Justin Jefferson in past weeks. But anyway, that's besides the point.
But that hasn't been bad, no, right? I mean, no, like you've been able to fire up Justin Jefferson in your starting lineup every week.
I'm going to be able to continue to do that. But I heard on another show that, okay, so I mean, it's no secret if you're a football fan here that the whole stats provider situation is just blown up. Nobody can get any stats. So I've been scraping here. But technically, if you go for routes run, Juju and Washington ran more routes than Claypool in that game. And even after Deontay's been down over the last two games, Claypool's been on the field for only about 70% of snaps here. So those are things that suggest maybe that the four touchdown game is an exception and not the norm. Granted, he does half of that. You're still in for a hell of a fantasy week and you're celebrating. So I still think you roster him. And I put the number at around 65% of your budget. But it becomes real hard if you want to use your number one waiver claim on it. That's where it starts to – you start to have a knot in your stomach. Oh, should I really do this? And granted, he's going to come out and burn me and go crazy next week. Not that I'm talking down or that he's a bad player or that he won't be productive, but I just – it's the ultimate buy high move here. And how can you guarantee that usage? And now it's no secret for other teams, right? You kind of have to have a fold of your game plan in to how you're going to stop him.
That's a good point. And something you didn't mention, which I think is really, really important for this conversation as well. Steelers have already had their bye week.
Yes.
They've already had it. So you don't have to worry about trying to bench him or like that. Mm-hmm. That matters in week six of the season.
Not only that, but the Steelers have Cleveland, Tennessee, and Dallas coming up. So that's a pretty nice looking schedule.
So these are questions that we don't know, and we're going to have to see the Steelers answer them for us. Mm-hmm. But if you told me today Claypool is going to do slot stuff or Deontay Johnson stuff or like even kind of what we wanted James Washington to do over the middle, right? He caught one of the touchdown passes in the cover two. It was a good throw, bad coverage by the linebacker and just got the touchdown there. If that is what Claypool's role will be for the rest of the season, and you could certainly do that. He's very talented. It's kind of weird to do that for a 6'4" guy as big and fast as Claypool is, but if he is, blow the whole budget, right? I'm completely in on that. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. But if you tell me he is going to do deep ball stuff, which is what they have kind of struggled to find the player to do, I'm worried about that, and I would not go 65. Yeah,
much leads for high variance.
Right. I think it's more like a 25-30% budget because we loved Justin Jefferson for the ideas, who the hell is catching other passes besides Adam Thielen? Jefferson has to do that, and we've been right. Mm-hmm. I don't think that applies to Claypool, though, which is where my concern lies a little bit and why I'd much rather have Madison.
Well, and the narrative was always that Roethlisberger and Deontay Johnson were building chemistry. You know, we're going to be able to really show what this kid can do. And this kind of gets in the way of that, so it concerns me a little bit. In fantasy, we're not really supposed to use the H word anymore in the community, talking about, you know, a backup, that running back, and it typically applies to running backs. It's so hard to say this without saying this. And normally the H word doesn't really apply to receivers, but the situation where I'm going to go all in on Claypool is, I missed out on my Jefferson and my earlier Mike Davis and those types of bids earlier this year. So I find myself in a 12-team league with about 87% of my budget remaining, and I roster Deontay Johnson in that league. Claypool is kind of we'll call him a corollary or a correlation player to Deontay Johnson, right? When Johnson's out there, I don't feel super great about starting Claypool, but when Johnson's not out there, which may be the case, we'll have to watch the injury report this week, then Claypool's a surefire wide receiver three that could easily see his stock rise even beyond that. So
it's not just Johnson, though. I think if Washington is out or if Juju had injury problems last year too, any one of those guys, just giving Claypool the opportunity to be, the guaranteed number three guy, whatever capacity, whatever role the Steelers choose to use him in, that's a big deal. And I think it's possible with the pass catchers the Steelers have, it's possible to happens. I just want to note, Roethlisberger is the most inaccurate deep passer right now in the NFL. He confirmed it. He literally said that. But if you look at the next gen stats, he is the most inaccurate deep ball passer right now of starting quarterbacks in the NFL. If Claypool is that deep passer catching guy, you are going to see too much high variance to spend 50 to 60% of your budget. It just can't happen.
I just feel like there are going to be a lot of fantasy players that pick him up expecting to be an every week player, and they're going to be disappointed a few weeks when really it's more of a situational thing where you have to take a good look at the rest of the position group and see what happens here. So, yes, it's a high bid, But chances are this is maybe one where I'd let somebody else take the bid for it and maybe use my second claim on Madison or something like that. It's really tough to do actionable advice because it's very, very situational here depending on where your area is when you are.
Well, I think it's good advice, though. That's excellent stuff. Let's get to some more high variance wide receivers, unfortunately. Brandon Cooks had himself a game finally. There goes Bill O'Brien, and here comes Brandon Cooks. That's an interesting name, and I'm rostering him right now. I had to start him in my Dynasty League, not because I want to, but because I had to. And then another guy, Mecole Hardman, with Watkins now out for sure. DeMarcus Robinson, of course, is around, unfortunately, for fantasy managers. Of those two, I think there's a very clear option that I would pick up. Both are under 50% owned, but I guess I want to hear from you first.
I put this next guy's in a group, the probably rostered group, but maybe check, because Mecole Hardman, 40%. Brandon Cooks, 44%. Mike Williams, 40%, who we touched on. Henry Ruggs, he's back now, and he was only rostered in 44%, and he's got that kind of similar – I mean, okay, granted, he's coming off Derek Carr having pretty much the game of his life.
Yeah.
You know, that blowing survivor for everybody. I think I have him pretty much ordered how I like him. Maybe I put Cooks above Hardman because Cooks is someone that his snap count isn't going to change much from where it was week one. He's suddenly just getting used, and not to mention Will Fuller is very fragile. I forget. I was listening or I saw a tweet or something. You know, I got to do a better job.
You always say this every week.
Because I don't want to make it seem like this take is my own. And then I know. Have someone come out and be like, oh, no, wait, that was my take. But Will Fuller, through contact, he can't really make any catches through contact. He's just a fragile guy.
This is no secret. That was really his ding when he got drafted out of Notre Dame exactly. 4 years ago, too.
Yeah, if you can get in there with any little bit of hand fighting late, you know, you can defend Will Fuller where he's going to beat you as a speed anyway. So Cooks is maybe a little bit better at that. And, of course, we all know about the fragile hamstrings of Will Fuller. So Cooks could become useful well beyond when Sammy Watkins comes back here, shifting gears to the Chiefs here. I love Hardman as a player. I've rostered him on the cheap in several leagues here. The stock's definitely gone down. It concerned me that Pringle got in the game and got a reception as soon as Sammy Watkins went down. And, of course, Robinson frustrates me to no end that the Chiefs don't quite understand their pecking order of receivers. For a team as brilliant as they are, yet they haven't quite found a way to maximize the usage of Mecole Hardman, but in terms of volume, I think Cooks is safer and he probably tops the list.
It's interesting. I have a different version of that, and it's Hardman number one for me, because when I'm looking at the end of the day, I mean, they all kind of have similar warts and they all have similar situations. That's why they are under 50% owned in most Yahoo leagues. I think you can make a pretty easy case for, I could see why you drop them in a shallower format. Hardman, right? We talked about the Chiefs and Watkins being in front, Robinson, Pringle all being in front. Great. He did that jet sweep for a touchdown last week, but that doesn't mean crap when people aren't really getting involved in the offense. Brandon Cooks, yes, we have the lack of usage by Deshaun Watson. Of course, now he comes alive, but hey, he's had concussion histories of his own, right? Like, that's even more important than Will Fuller's stuff. Mike Williams, he's been hurt. Keenan Allen, he's been around doing things. Justin Herbert, we didn't know. Henry Ruggs, he's also been hurt too. I have Hardman ranked number one because that Chiefs offense is so dynamic. And if I can just get any share of it, even if it's a cheaper share that's not as consistent, give me that every time out of these guys that are probably rostered. So Hardman's number one for me, especially with Watkins out. I have Mike Williams number two. I know the Chargers are on a bye this week, so that maybe makes a bit of a difference, and it could actually help you if you're trying to maybe slide him underneath a Claypool pickup as well, that, hey, they're not going to be able to play. Williams is number two for me. Cooks is number three, and I'm fine rostering Cooks, but just understand he's more of a wide receiver four or five who you have to play during bye weeks. I really want nothing to do with Ruggs. I really, and I know it's crazy, he had two catches, 118 yards, and a touchdown. I really want nothing to do with Ruggs, but I'm also the guy that has always avoided DeSean Jackson during his peak, and that's the same type of thing, except for a quarterback that doesn't throw it deep very often, Derek Carr.
You'll have your good weeks and your bad weeks. I definitely get that for sure. So we're mostly on the same page with that, but a little different at the top. I have both Cooks and Hardman in stake lead, and I'm 100% confident I won't start the right one the rest of the year.
I mean, that's like the surest money you can have, is making sure you're going to start the wrong one. Travis Fulgham, he's a thing. He is a thing that caught 10 passes for the Eagles right now. And I know, I mean, I say it like
that.
Should
we just call him the new Olamide Zaccheaus?
Oh, no, don't break my heart with Zaccheaus. I had to start him, and I'm still very angry about that. No, Rodgers, because Fulgham had a stint with the Packers. I think he was on the practice squad or in training camp. Rodgers really liked him. I mean, he gave him the, oh, man, I'm blanking on his name, the UW Whitewater wide receiver. Please help me. I'm struggling so much right now.
I keep wanting to say Aberderis, but that's not it.
Oh, yeah. That is a
good... Janis?
No, I mean, anyway, he's the Detroit Lions practice squad wide receiver right now. The Packers fandom loves him. He liked Fulgham. Aaron Rodgers really liked Fulgham. And I was surprised when all the injuries came down that the Packers didn't try to bring him back onto the active roster for that reason. Well, here you go. We're kind of seeing what Rodgers was seeing through 2 weeks. He, of course, caught that important pass against the 49ers. I think that scored the game-winning touchdown or set up the field goal. Blanking, but had the 10 catches, 150 yards, and those were some quality catches. I mean, that was some legit stuff that he was doing. Unfortunately, DeSean Jackson, Alshon Jeffrey, and Jalen Reagor are all probably coming back in the next 2 to 3 weeks. So Greg Ward, Travis Fulgham, they're great wide receiver three flex starters for you right now, but I'm not sure I'm aggressively going out to get them at this moment.
Yeah, I don't see a situation where Fulgham suddenly they decide he's going to be a slot player, you know, over Greg Ward's role right now. And then once again, I'm more likely to put the spec ad down on Reagor or Jeffrey than I am to add Fulgham and watch him do the Zacchaeus thing for a week.
Yeah, yeah. I like Fulgham. I think he is going to be a decent enough player if the situation presents itself, but we can just look at this and say, I don't think it's going to present itself necessarily. Mm-hmm. So,
and I mean, Carson Wentz, if you've watched him through the first 4 weeks of the year, you just think bad, bad, and then suddenly he has a crazy game and everything's fixed in this offense. Not quite buying it.
Yeah. Jake Kumerow. I don't know why I couldn't get Kumerow out of my Jake Kumerow.
I could picture his hair in my head, and I was just like, I just started naming other white Packers receivers.
I guarantee you every listener right now is yelling, Kumerow, Kumerow at me, you idiot, it's Kumerow.
Remember, we have a national base outside of Wisconsin.
No, everyone
like
knows
think,
who Jake.
I would like to think.
Everyone knows who Jake Kumerow is. Come on. All right, Preston Williams had a great week, finally. A lot of people were really in on Preston Williams, myself included, to start the season. He was a pretty easy drop for me, and of course has a good week, but it was against the Jets. Christian Kirk, another guy I was super in on. I had him in Stake League.
Well, I'm saying that they're playing.
Oh, he plays. I'm sorry, he plays the Jets. Yeah. Well, I guess you could say the 49ers secondary with the way they have been are like Jets bad.
I just visibly cringe.
Yeah, and then Christian Kirk, he had 12 targets over the last 2 weeks. Another guy I was in on to start the year had dropped already. I'm not like aggressively going out and getting Williams or Kirk, but if you're in a 14 or 16 team league, they are probably rostered, but you might even feel comfortable enough starting them given what we're kind of seeing from both these players.
Yeah, these are just a couple of names that looking through my less than 50% rostered came up. You know, Williams, both of these guys, Williams and Kirk, can be boom or bust because at least Kirk is definitely, he's one of those guys like so many we've talked about before that are seemingly awesome or most frequently used in the deep target situations here. And of course, Arizona has DeAndre Hopkins that can do that just as well, if not better. So Kirk's really a secondary option. And I really think Williams is a secondary option to Devontae Parker as well. You know, once we see Devontae Parker more at full strength, it was just one of those weeks where Williams happened to get the score early. I remember the week before he got the score early, but then just wasn't used the rest of the game. So these guys can both be boom or bust. So, you know, just guys worth mentioning just because of their current level of ownership here.
Yeah. I'm right there with you on that one. We got to mention just DuVernay real quick because I had a banger of a tweet that I sent out, and I'm very happy the Ravens that are finally using him. My dynasty teams are just ecstatic for that fact. Mm-hmm. I have a feeling at like some point down the road, he isn't going to be a guy that wins you the league, but I guarantee you he is going to be a guy that you are excited to have on your roster. Just like, I don't know if it's week 10 or week 8 or week 13 in the fantasy playoffs, he's going to make a difference. And not that he's the Brashad Perriman of last year during the fantasy playoffs, just went off. Mm-hmm. But if the Ravens offense really wants to get better, you cannot tell me that Miles Boykin should be having more snaps than DuVernay, who has made plays every single time he's on the field.
Even Willie Snead, for that matter. And I don't know what's holding DuVernay back necessarily in the offense, because if you watch his film from college, from Texas, he had a tremendous catch rate. Anything that was anywhere near him, he got his hands on the ball and he made the catch, and he's got just, you know, next level extraordinary speed. I this is like a Tyreek Hill comp in me eventually here. Give it a couple of years. So I think a lot of people here at RotoWire are high on DuVernay, and yeah, it might not be this season, but he should absolutely be on your radar. Maybe late in next season if there's an injury anywhere on this depth chart, or for 2021 for sure.
All right, guys you want to drop from the wide receiver spot, A.J. Green, Sammy Watkins, Russell Gage, anybody else that you're thinking of?
Yeah, those are the three guys I wrote down, so nice job reading them out.
Yes, I got it. All right, no, I mean, I'm happy to dance on the A.J. Green grave at this point. I've been calling that for now.
Yeah, Watkins is just a replacement-level type player, you know, and now that he's hurt, who knows what you're going to get out of him.
I'm not sure I'm dropping Gage, but I'm also the guy that's going to hold on to Zacchaeus way too long too. So I don't know if you should be trusting my opinion on anybody from that receiving core. I was trying to think of some names as well. Like the Anthony Miller was probably already dropped situation. Steven Sims, who I liked quite a bit as a Washington pass catcher, was on injured reserve. So God, I hope you dropped him. I have never been a huge fan of Hunter Renfro or Curtis Samuel. Samuel, I still think has some utility so long as CMC is out, because he keeps doing running back stuff, and I think that matters. 4 carries for 28 yards. I have a hard time dropping him in deeper leagues. But Anthony Miller, I mean, like four receptions, 28 yards against the Buccaneers. Yeah. I'm out. Like that, we're done.
If you don't have IR spots, how long can you afford to roster someone like Rashad Perriman in the Adam Gase offense? I think he would kind of fit into that mold as well.
Yeah, he was just cutting the league I was into, and I was like, oh, wow, okay. Jimmy Graham, tight end situation. I mean, 4 touchdown passes, other than our boy Big Bob, is probably one of the top leaders at the position for receptions. They use him a lot in the red zone. It's crazy to see Graham doing well with, Big Nick.
BDN, yeah. We'll just call him BDN.
Sorry. I mean, you got there. You knew where I was going with it anyway, so I guess I just jumped the gun on it. Anyway, this is not getting monetized on YouTube, so we're fine. We're good to go.
Oh, you're right. I think we're cool.
We're fine. But yeah, I mean, Jimmy Graham having some success. So I don't want to roster him. I know I should. This is a waiver wire podcast. We should be talking about. I don't want to roster him.
I don't know. He's played over 40 snaps every single week, and you know he's not out there to block. So, I mean, basically what's left in this scenario, there's some upside here in the tight end market. Is very tough. I mean, there are tight ends that you drafted, guys like Hurst and Higby, that are definitely not living up to expectations. Like, how long do you leave a guy like Jimmy Graham sit on the waiver wire and score touchdowns every single week? Got a pretty nice run of opponents here, too, coming up. I mean, Carolina's tough, but it looks like Rams, Saints, Titans, and Vikings here before his bye.
It was the same reason we were in on Mo Alie-Cox for his starting role for that time, right? Like, you had to figure out what to do at low on tight end one status.
Was it the Coventry Jeff one from yesterday? But I think Coventry mentioned on that show, in case you didn't listen to it, that Trey Burton actually ran more routes than Cox and Doyle combined since he's been back. And
yes.
And there's history there with Trey Burton in the program here. So that could be another name you're looking for if you're starting to get desperate in the tight end area.
Yep, that's a fantastic one. I was going to mention him as well. Cameron Brate, he had 6 targets last Thursday with with O.J. Howard out, Gronk was still kind of involved.
Gronk's there to block. Let's get rid of it.
Well, I mean, he did have the – yeah, I mean, yeah, you're right. And then we had Irv Smith as well finally get more involved in the passing game. 4 catches, 64 yards for the Vikings. I mean, that's an interesting one. They have to have a guy other than Justin Jefferson and Adam Thielen do things. And if you are on the assumption Cook is not playing – maybe you have to pass even more than two. Mm-hmm. So yeah, it's
possible. Cook is getting a lot of targets. I don't know if Madison quite has that same degree or pedigree as a pass catcher. So maybe take a couple of Cook targets and put them in the direction of other pass catchers.
You'll have to cross-check this one for me as if it fits our Yahoo qualifications. But Austin Hooper, he's now had 17 targets in the last 2 weeks. I drafted Hooper in a lot of different places, assuming he's going to get the Kevin Stefanski. No, I didn't drop him because I am a sucker, and I held on to him for far too long. But here we go. We're reaping the benefits. 10 targets in this win over the Colts this past week. 57 receiving yards. That's a season high, which is why he's probably dropped in a lot of places. Yep. I kind of like him as a low-end tight end one, tight end two, kind of in the same way that we're discussing Jimmy Graham.
Yeah, one of the last things I do before closing the book on the show outline is just skim through the box scores one more time, and I'm like, ooh, Hooper, what the heck? I wonder if people dropped him. 55% rostered in Yahoo leagues, currently owned in the 14-team league I'm looking at here. So he's somebody that's, not really under the radar, but maybe in your 10-teamer, he could be coming back if you're in a tough tight end situation. Obviously, like, Higby's not running routes anymore. He almost goes on the drop list. You have to consider. I mean, he was
getting such a high touchdown volume.
I guess you have to hold on to him, but because there aren't any, like, great tight ends emerging.
Exactly.
All of the ones on the wire that we're talking about today are just as risky, if not riskier. So it becomes a really, really difficult thing. I mean, if Bobby T's still out there and, you know, suddenly Higby.
Robert Tonyan, for those of you that don't listen to our podcast from last week, since we're debating the nicknames.
The one and only in the realm of, like, Booker T or Mr. T, Bobby T.
I, I like that.
I'm gonna continue to tout that nickname. I don't tout much, but
don't make me do a Twitter
Robert
poll.
Robert Tanyan.
The four people that will vote will definitely go my direction, and you're gonna lose this one.
Yeah, if you do it, there's some bias in there.
Yeah.
But anyway, yeah. I mean, Higbee, it's disappointing that Everett's running all those routes.
I don't understand. I really don't. It's frustrating to try to figure out the Rams tight end situation. Another drop for me, and this is gonna be like unanimous. Logan Thomas, the tight end. I mean, he was running so many routes for Washington. That's great. Well, now that Kyle Allen is starting, I want absolutely nothing to do with this passing attack. And I love Terry McLaurin. I think he is going to get squandered as well. And we've seen Ron Rivera make bad decisions. I feel like we are getting this choice right now with the Washington passing attack. So Logan Thomas, you are gone from my rosters everywhere. I'm sorry. I'm not sorry. Real quick, defensive streamers, the top pickup, and this might actually be like a top five overall waiver wire pickup, is the Dolphins' defense against the Jets. It's time. It's time. The Adam Gase stink is still there. We have to take advantage while we can.
Yeah, I mean, will the Dolphins be the team to finally get the Jets to fire Adam Gase? Find out next week on week six. You know, no, the Dolphins are the streamer for sure. I threw another bunch of names in there. I mean, if you believe that the Falcons are completely falling apart, you could pick up the Vikings. They're 30% rostered. If Cam Newton is not back for New England, I didn't quite look at that yet, but if he's not back, then maybe the Broncos come into play. They're only 29% rostered. The other popular one is basically anybody that plays Daniel Jones, turnover prone. The Washington football team has him this week. They're pretty much universally available as well. So just wanted to throw some options out there for our listeners.
That's how I'd rank it as well with the Jets, going against the Jets, Miami defense. That's number one. Washington becomes number two because Danny Dimes always gives you at least one turnover for touchdown to some extent. And then after that, it's like you can make a case for anybody else. There's just a very clear top two hierarchy.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, Minnesota could burn you if you buy into your narrative, whereas the Falcons get new life with the new change of scenery. Maybe the toxicity is gone, or I wouldn't call Dan Quinn toxic.
No, I agree.
By any means. But now they're maybe like, okay, now we're going to go out and play well, which I mean, these guys are professionals. I find it hard to buy into these narratives sometimes. But
I just it's just the heebie-jeebies, and it's just a personal feeling with how the Texans turn it around after Bill O'Brien. Like, there was no hope, and now, wow, there's a lot of hope all of a sudden.
But Bill O'Brien was universally regarded as just a knob, right? Right. Just, he had any little bit of respect, you know, that he ever had in the league was just thrown out the window when he made that DeAndre Hopkins trade this year. Dan Quinn is actually somebody that has made it to a Super Bowl and generally seemed to be pretty well-liked. He just wasn't getting the results here. So I think there's a little bit of a difference there.
Yeah, you're right. All right, well, that does it for us in the Tuesday waiver wire edition of the NFL podcast. You can get a free 10-day subscription, and you should. There's a lot of really, really good quality content on the site right now, not just for NFL, but also for NBA, MLB, if you're in the playoffs kind of stuff, and hockey as well. A lot of big off-season period going on at the moment. rotowire.com/pod for that 10-day free trial. No credit card needed, nothing like that. Just rotowire.com/pod, and you get set for the site. If you have any waiver wire questions, I'm not afraid to answer them. You can tweet me at @JBFantasySports. Same with Roto Jake. We've had a lot of users take advantage of that over the past couple weeks, which I am proud of, but it is going to be a little bit cumbersome. Like, we have a lot going on with Twitter questions throughout the week, so feel free to keep firing away at us. Any other sign-offs that you want quick?
No, man, rotowire.com/pod, P-O-D. Jerry's Hidden Statline article is free week. I have no idea what the heck inspired us to lift the paywall on that, but take advantage of it while it's there. Obviously, we know the situation with stat providers across the sports industry right there. Jerry somehow dug up snap count and usage rates for the entire backfields of every team in week five. So go get that for free. I mean, that's one of the most useful pieces of free fantasy football information on the internet. So go check that out. But that's the best plug I can offer.
It's really one of the best articles, not just on the site, but I think in the fantasy realm right now. Stay tuned. Again, just be very mindful of your waiver wire pickup system on your league. Mm-hmm. If you're listening to this, it's possible that this Titans-Bills game that happens tonight could have very drastic ramifications on this waiver wire podcast. We don't know. We're recording this way before then. So just be mindful of that and when waiver wire claims happen for your league. Again, thanks for listening. Tune in next week. And definitely stay tuned to what Jeff's new guest is going to have for Wednesday, and the guys John and Mario for the Thursday edition. That's one of my favorite podcasts to listen to each week.
Don't shortchange DFS on Friday. Always good stuff.
They make me look so stupid. That's why. I mean, they just have so much smart stuff with you every single time. You have to. I mean, that's just every RotoWire podcast is a listen again. Thanks for tuning in.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink, which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.